Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to the last Sunday of the year, the liturgical year, that is. And as always, we end as we began. We began at Advent of last year, looking forward to the coming of the King. And we end declaring that truly Jesus Christ is the King. This is Christ the King Sunday. Next week will be the first of the liturgical year, Cycle C. And if you would like to get the lectionary readings, I think it's one of the best things our church does. We send them out every Monday. Let Jen know that. She'll send you the lections. And you can read on all four of those scriptures as we are all preparing to come together. Now, I will not be here next Sunday, but you have a treat in store. I remember we used to have a member named Roy Weinbarger. And one time Roy showed up and he brought along with him an old pastor friend of his, Don Fowler. And when they were walking out, Don introduced me and he simply said, Tom, this is Don Fowler. He's a lot better preacher than you are. So I heard the tape or heard it online. You ought to show up next week to hear Andy. He's a whole lot better preacher than I am. So you're in for a treat next week. We will begin the Advent wreath. If you would like to read and light, which the electronic lighting for one of the Sundays in Advent, please let me know and I'll get you, your family or friends or yourself on that list. Just let me know. Also, I draw your attention to two things on the back table in the narthex. The coming Thanksgiving and Christmas year it is a joyous time. But in the midst of our joy, it can also exacerbate some sadness and loneliness. So I did some research of resources that are available, and I found one that I highly recommend. They're wonderful leaders, and literally they wrote a book on this. But if you or someone else know or have difficulties and just the sadness of the year, this is a wonderful resource, and that's on the back, Passages Through Grief. Also on the back table, we have some information about how to and what to go into the shoebox for our Christmas children. That's back there. Webb, what would you like to say about that?
This thing on, it's ever open here.
It should be.
Hello.
Morning, everybody. A couple things, and some of you that were here before, we used to do Samaritan's Purse. Pastor Al brought it to us. And when he left, I guess it kind of disappeared, and no one really paid attention to it. And so I've been thinking about it a lot lately. What can we do to help? And I talked to Tom about it a few weeks ago, and I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I came to the conclusion it's something I really wanted to bring back to the well. So we're doing Samaritan's Purse. Those of you that didn't get the robocall or the email, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the history. I'm 45 years old, but my brain identifies as a dog, so my brain's 315 years old, so I wasn't going to remember this. So I printed a few things. Samaritan's Purse is an evangelical Christian humanitarian aid organization that provides aid to people in physical need as a key part of the Christian missionary work. The organization's president is Franklin Graham, son of Christian evangelist Billy Graham. The name of the organization is derived from the New Testament parable, the Good Samaritan. Samaritan's Purse was founded in 1970 by Baptist pastor Robert Pierce, the founder of World Vision International in Boone, North Carolina. That's where their headquarters is at. Franklin Graham met Pierce in 1973. They made several trips together around the world to visit relief projects and missionary partners in Asia and elsewhere. Graham became president of Samaritan's Purse in 1979, following Pierce's death in 78. Operation Christmas Child, which is one of the many things that Samaritan's Purse, was created in 1990 by Dave Cook and his wife Jill for children in Romania. Every November, thousands of churches, schools, groups, individual donors prepare and collect these shoeboxes filled with toys, school supplies, personal items, blah, blah. The boxes are then distributed overseas by volunteers. The program uses, and this is one of the biggest things that hit me. The program uses follow-up evangelism with pamphlets of Bible stories that are given to families that receive the boxes. Every kid basically gets a box. The follow-up evangelism program of Operation Christmas Child is called The Greatest Journey. It is a 12-week discipleship program for children who receive these shoeboxes. So the shoeboxes, it's great for children. Most of these kids that receive them have literally never received a Christmas gift in their life. But more importantly, when you pack in the boxes, you pray over them. The people that go through them to pull stuff out that everyone puts in that we're not supposed to, and we'll go over that in just a second, pray over them. But the biggest thing is that these kids have never heard of our eternal Father. They've never heard of Jesus Christ. They don't know who he is. No one's ever preached the word. They learn about Jesus, and they learn about the Bible. So the best part about this program is that it brings Jesus Christ to kids all over the world that have never heard about him. So real quick, if my math is correct, and it probably isn't, I think we have 20 boxes spoken for. I think we have a total of 37. Big thank you to my beautiful blue-eyed blonde over there, by the way. These do not come all pretty like this. They come flat as a pancake, and you have to fold it like 87 times to make this box. And she sat on the floor last night for 2 hours and folded all these boxes. So big thank you to Carrie. But every box has a little pamphlet in them. They're at the back of the room. Oh, okay, it's still there. So you can check on this whether you want it to be for a boy or girl, ages 2 to 4, 5 to 9, or 10 to 14. You can tape it to the top of the box. You can just stick it in it. Our local person in charge of this, Debbie Harvey, she said that I could have them back by the 3rd, but she told my wife the 1st, so she lied to me. I think she just wants them back as early as possible to guarantee that they're on the truck. When I called her last week, she said, "You're late." And I'm like, story of my life. And she said that this was like National Shipping Week or whatever. She said, but we have a truck that leaves on December 4th to go to Boone, North Carolina, and it's like your last chance. So if you can get the boxes back to me or Tom by the 1st, it'd be great. If you're running late, as long as you have them back to me by the 3rd, that's fantastic. It's going to sound strange. Please read over this pamphlet. There's a lot of things we can put in the boxes, but there's some things we can't. What you have to understand is, when they get to customs, if there's something that's in the box that shouldn't be there, they don't take it out. They just shoo the box to the side. So there's thousands of volunteers every year at these processing centers that go through the boxes, pull out anything that shouldn't be there so that the kids could receive them. Stuff like liquids, toothpaste, shampoo, stuff like that can't go in it. This is going to sound really strange, but don't put a Bible in it. Because what they want to do is, after this 12-week discipleship program, if the kids want a Bible, they give it to them in their language. So you're kind of wasting your money if you put a Bible in there. They don't take candy. Especially a lot of these kids have grown up in countries that have been at war their entire life, so they don't want war items in there. A little army men or a plastic army knife or something like that. But all that information's in here, what you can put in, what you can't. If you have any questions, reach out to me. If someone said they wanted a box, I think some people said one or two, grab them as you leave, but I think there's 15 or 17 more. We could fill all of them, that'd be great. You know, fill most of them, that's fantastic. But more than anything, when you're doing this, just think about the kids. Pray over the boxes, because again, the biggest thing about this is to spread the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, that's it.
Thank you, Webb.
Yes, sir.
And we're looking forward to doing that. It's going to be a great ministry. And let Webb know if you have any other questions.
So if we can get them filled by next Sunday, we just bring them right back here to church.
Yes, ma'am. That'd be perfect.
Okay, so just you should have made that announcement. We need them next Sunday and bring them back here.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you, Mother.
Just bring them back next Sunday. All right, B.
Yeah, when I did Good News Club several years ago, we had a treasure box there. And we had little things that could be used for Samaritan's Purse boxes. So when you exit and get your box, the table out there that has the entrance stuff will now have things that you can use for your box that are free. The church has already paid for them in connection with Good News. So just take what you want according to male or female or neutral gender things. There's a sign at each one. I don't have many male things, but and those are, they're just what I observe kids taking during Good News Club, how I'm classifying. But most of it's neutral gender, so balls and things like that. And it all should pass their inspection. So feel free to take whatever you want for those boxes. Don't take it for your family, please. Take it for the boxes, and then if we have anything left over, we'll use them next year too. In addition to that, and totally unrelated, if you go to Thanksgiving and you have any kids ages 2 to 10, I have 5 or 6 of these little craft things left over from those boxes. See me and I'll just give it to you. And you can have fun with your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, whatever.
Thank you, B. And I think Dave had an announcement.
I'm dangerous today because I brought my camera. So Kelly is the number one guy on the hit list for the pictures for the automated website. If you have changed your information, you know, change your phone number, you change your address, you know, you don't like your birthday, so you want to be 10 years younger, whatever you want to do, write it on a piece of paper, hand it to me, and I will update it. If you don't like your pictures, I'll be taking pictures right after church. And if you don't think you've got the right attire on today and you want to have different attire on for a picture, then I'll bring my camera next week and we can take another round of pictures next week.
Where will you be taking those pictures?
Right outside against the brick wall.
Out in the bitter cold.
Out in the bitter cold. And since it takes 30 seconds, you know, can't be that hard. All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Any other announcements? Let's go to prayer requests. Any prayer requests that you would like to lift up? You see, we've added a couple. Jen's uncle Ben passed away, so we'll keep that family in prayer. Gail Everett, unfortunately, found out that she's going to need knee replacement, so let's keep her in prayer. And then a friend of Martha's, Nancy Turner, is having surgery on the 30th, so let's begin keeping her in prayer as well. Any others?
John Sines, the father of a friend of mine that I work with, he's a fifth one down we've been praying for. He passed last week, lost his battle with COVID, so if we could just keep praying in her family in prayer. And also, I've got a really good friend, old childhood friend, Edward. He was up at Uncle Tom's a few weeks ago hunting for a week. He just lost his mom to cancer the other day. So we can keep Edward and his family in prayer.
Any others? I'd like you to keep the Burnett family in prayer. They've lost their mother. She was 87. I'm officiating at that service tomorrow. In late August, they lost her youngest son, who was 62, and then the oldest son just found out Friday has cancer. So the family's just been hit with a lot of issues, so keep the Burnett family in your prayers. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious God, truly the King of Kings, but a different type of king. A king that doesn't lord it over its subjects. A king who doesn't demand the death and service of the subject, but rather gives his life so his subjects would have life and that more abundantly. A king who didn't come to be served, but came to serve. A king whose compassion knows no end. A king who is sympathetic, accessible, and always present, a very present help in all times of trouble. So we thank you at the end of this year for a king who comes in at the beginning of this year as a humble babe. And we thank you for that type of king, our king, Jesus Christ. We thank you for an opportunity as a church to be able to reach out into our community and around the world. We pray that we would always be faithful, whether from this pulpit or in all the ministry we do, to do none else than proclaim the good news of this king. We pray that you will continue to be with those through the upcoming holiday season. Draw close and give comfort and strength. We pray that you would be with those that have been mentioned. We pray for the McTire family. We pray that you would be with the Burnett family, the Sines family, for Edward and his family and the loss of his mom. We pray that you would be with Nancy, preparing for upcoming surgery, Gail, preparing for upcoming surgery, for others that are preparing. May their anxieties be replaced by the sure confidence of knowing that you are present and that we confess you as being the eternal God who was, who is, and who will be forever. It's in the name of the eternal God we offer these prayers and give you all things. Amen. I'd ask you to look with me at the front of the bulletin. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and hold us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me, giving ear and attention to Psalm 93, and not only is our call to worship, it'll be the text for our sermon. Let us call one another to worship this King. The Lord is King. He has put on splendid apparel. The Lord has put on his apparel and girded himself with strength.
He has made the whole world so sure that it cannot be moved.
Ever since the world began, your throne has been established. You are from everlasting.
The waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up my voice. The waters have lifted up behind me ways.
Mightier than the sound of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, mightier is the Lord who dwells on high.
Your testimonies are very sure, and holiness adorns your house, O Lord. Forever and ever.
Amen. You may be sinners. Let us stand and sing together.
Thank you.
reading is from Isaiah 51, 4 to 6. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the people. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for the arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in the manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This ends the first reading.
To the kingdom of light, and as children of light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is Revelations 1, 4b to 8. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and domination forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This ends the second reading.
Concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. The music is always just so good, but especially today. Very familiar hymns, and your solo, Mona, and Sarah, and Andy. We just really appreciate our music ministry here and what Mona does. I hear tell maybe even Robert and Craig will be singing a duet one day. The Oxford Furnace Boys, you know. But we praise his holy name for all the goodness. And what a wonderful week. And I would like to say, this is a wonderful week. And if you are, or you know of anyone who's alone this week, and they don't want to be. And I give that caveat as I do each year, because sometimes being by yourself is different than being lonely. So if you are or know of anyone who is alone this week and they do not want to be, please let me know, because we don't want anyone to go through Thanksgiving week without a welcome somewhere. So please let me know. Let's go to prayer together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with joy for all the good things you've given us. True, we can count our blessings. We can create a list of all those things that we have to be thankful for. But truly, at the end of the day, it's not the length of our list, but the presence of our loving God, who just welcomes us into your presence, calls us your own, and blesses us with your forgiveness and eternal love. May we be effective listeners, enabled by your Spirit to comprehend even a small part of your love. And may we then be efficient communicators as we seek to speak of that Father, to tell of your love in all the places that we go. Now may your Spirit enable us to hear about the wonderful truth that you are our King. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Several weeks ago, I asked you who was the worst despot, tyrant that ever lived. And my answer was sin. Now I'm going to ask you, who is the greatest king or ruler? The greatest military might, the greatest power that ever lived. I did some research and talked to some folks, and I made a list of some that might be the greatest ruler that ever lived. Maybe it was Alexander the Great, who conquered lands as far as you could see, whose military prowess and strategies are still being studied and analyzed. Maybe it was Genghis Khan, who united nomadic tribes and trained them. And he took over and conquered almost the entirety of Central Asia and China. Maybe it was Napoleon Bonaparte, whose youthfulness and power had him not only crown the emperor of France, but he conquered the Egyptian armies and all their multitude. Maybe it could be George Patton, who was brilliant, who was well-read, who was aggressive, who was truly loved by his men and women that served him. Maybe more recently it could be Norman Schwarzkopf, Stormin' Norman, who had a strong moral compass, who was said to lead from the front, never commanding his men or women to do anything that he wasn't willing to take the lead on, who was able as a common man to continue to be a good soldier as he dealt with the political nature of strategists and politicians. I don't know who you might offer. But I will tell you this. All of these rulers had one thing in common. Everyone I just mentioned had one thing in common. You know what it is? Even a little kid could tell me what it is. What did all these rulers have in common? They died. They died. Alexander the Great died in 323 B.C. Genghis Khan died in 1227. Napoleon, 1821. Patton, 1945. Schwarzkopf, in 2012. All of these rulers could not defeat the final enemy. They were not able to conquer the chief enemy for us all. I know of one, and only one, who was able to defeat that enemy. That's simply the good news that we offer this morning, but every morning. If you think about it, every Sunday is a Christ the King Sunday. Every day is a Christ the King day. The joy that we have in the midst of trials is the fact that there is only one who is able to defeat all enemies, even the most severe. Let me begin by reading the end. We'll look at Psalm 93 in turn, but let me begin by this wonderful passage at the end, 1 Corinthians 15. And we read this beginning in verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, and he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Our God reigns over all. If you'll look with me to Psalm 93, you can use the insert or turn to your scripture. The psalmist, who, while not stated by inscription, most in tradition have always credited this to David, who understood that the promise to him would be that there would always be a son who would reign. His son, David's son, the son of David, we will celebrate in the next coming month. And David in Psalm 93, very clearly, nothing fancy about the psalm or hopefully the sermon, but let's just see how David describes how our God reigns. The first thing we see in verse 1, our God reigns gloriously. There's no hint of doubt I don't know if you're like me, but I must say, because you see me up here where I'm proclaiming. Sherry and others see me when I'm not proclaiming, and even though I'm always the same, this is not the place for me to tell you my doubts. This is the place for me to proclaim Jesus Christ. But I'm like you, whom we all seem to be like the man who talked to Jesus in the Gospels. And if we're honest, we say, Lord, I believe, but please help my unbelief. How come things aren't working out? And for me, I truly believe that God's going to work all things out. The problem I have, where my doubt comes in, is he's not doing it quick enough. I want him to do it quickly. It hurts too much to be in this angst between the now and not yet. But we see with David, there was no hint of doubt. He begins, the Lord is king. Has he not put on splendid apparel? The Lord has put on his apparel. There's no doubt at all. You know, in 1 Samuel, the people wanted a king. And God said, you don't need a king. You've got one already. And they said, yeah, God, but everybody else has an earthly king. We want a king like all the other kids have. We want a limited king. We want a king that we can vote into office and out of office. We want a king that'll be, you know, somewhat able to control. We want a king that'll somewhat follow our agenda, and if he doesn't, we can vote him out. God says, you won't want a king like that. You've got the best king you can have. But they persisted, and he said, okay, you can have that. And most of us, even to this day, would say, it's one of the most laborious things that we have to deal with, our human kings. And one day we look to when one day again we'll only have one king and every knee will bow. But this reign of Christ, this reign of God is glorious. We see in verse 2, it's not only glorious, we're told it's powerful. It's a powerful king. He reigns gloriously and powerfully. The end of verse 1 and 2, the Lord has put on his apparel and girded himself with strength. He has made himself all powerful. And you think about it, and we see this in history, there have been lots of kingdoms where they've had a lot of wealth, but no power. Where they've had great abundance, but they weren't able to protect that. And we've seen in the history of the world that those that seek to find their longevity and their abundance soon lose it to the more powerful. But what we confess at the heart is that the king we have is the only power. I want you to understand the word only. You use it a lot. But we have this way in English of using words. And because we don't understand it, we'll modify it unnecessarily. For instance, have you ever heard anyone say, it was the most unique thing I've ever seen? Well, if we understand unique, to say it's most unique is unnecessary. It's either unique or it's not. To say, oh, that was very unique. Well, which one is it? I know when I was collecting pocket knives, we wanted mint knives. And people, because there are very few of those, would continue giving adjectives. Well, it's near mint. Well, that means it's not mint. If we understood only, I think it would alleviate a lot of our anxieties. For if we understood that when we say that Jesus Christ, that our God is the only power in heaven on earth, omnipotent, if he's all power, there's no other power that threatens his power. Do you follow that? Mm-hmm. If I said all the space in this sanctuary was taken up with CO2, there wouldn't be place for oxygen. And if God, the loving, compassionate God we know in Jesus Christ, is all powerful, then we need not fear that some other power, some other circumstance, some other lesser God or situation that's troubling us somehow will dethrone him. So we can rest. The problem is he doesn't show his power the way we like power shown, right? We want power shown as a white horse with mighty strength. He shows his power on the back of a colt or riding with his mom on a donkey. He shows his power in a very hidden way. A song that I really like, and I've heard it, but I don't hear it enough to be familiar. Mona was very helpful this past week in giving me the lyrics. It was written by Dallas Holm. And it tells in a very quick way the life of Jesus. I'm going to read it to you. Please listen. This will be the best part of the sermon, I promise you. The song is entitled Bethlehem, Galilee, Gethsemane. You follow that? Bethlehem, where he's born, Galilee, where he ministered, Gethsemane, where he went to his death. Bethlehem, he was born there. Yes, I believe. Galilee, Jesus walked there. I believe. Gethsemane, my Savior prayed there. On Calvary, he died alone. But the tomb, he left there, I believe. Bethlehem, he was born there. There was nothing sacred about the manger in Bethlehem. Jesus could have been born in the best hotel room in the city if only it had been left open for him. But he wasn't pushy, and still isn't. He moves only into the places we vacate for him. There was room that night only in the stable. So that's where he was born. Galilee, Jesus walked there. Jesus walked with the common men, but there was nothing common about his words. They upset every comfortable ethic. He upset judicial systems when he said, "Love those who hate you." He upset patterns of religion by declaring that the real temples of worship were in the hearts of believers. He refused to discuss laws and rules governing people's actions. Rather, he zeroed in on their thoughts and attitudes instead. Had Christ been a philosopher, they could have debated him. If he had been a warrior, they could have fought him. Had he been a religionist, they could have ignored him as an eccentric. But Christ was love. And what do you do with that? Gethsemane. My Savior prayed there. Gethsemane was agony for Christ. In those dark hours, he cried in desperation, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." But it wasn't God's will, and Jesus died alone. But the tomb, Jesus left there. God could have had Jesus resurrected right from the cross when no one was around. Instead, he arranged a full burial with grave clothes, a tomb, and even a Roman seal. But after 3 days conquering death, Jesus walked out free, leaving all to see the massive stone rolled away and the empty tomb. And now he lives and reigns forever. Oh, I believe. Yes, I believe. And he prays for us in heaven. Oh, I believe, I believe. And with the ones who's gone before me, I will praise the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Do you believe, brothers and sisters? Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed, pledging our allegiance to the only King of Kings. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Glory and dominion be to you, Lord God, for your word was alive in creation, is present in the power of the Spirit, and will come in glory on the last day. You made with the house of David an everlasting covenant, and your goodness is like the sun on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on a grassy land. You sent Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom of priests serving you forever. And so with all the company of heaven, we rejoice to sing your praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of truth, your Son came to testify to you and to lead us into all righteousness. You have prepared for us such things as pass our understanding. Send your Holy Spirit upon your people, that your word may be on our lips, and sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of all beginnings and endings, your Son declared his kingdom was not of this world. Bless the governance of every earthly kingdom, that it may be ruled justly, in spirit, and in truth. Visit your children who live in fear, dwell under oppression, experience cruelty, or suffer discrimination. Turn struggle into hope, hope into freedom, freedom into justice, and justice into love. Bring to those who have never known you, or have forgotten or rejected you, the light of your grace and the thirst for your mercy. Until your Son comes with the clouds, and all eyes will see him, and every tribe and tongue will lift your name on high. Ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. From the beginning until now, It was the presence of this table that has been the most controversial in church and in society. Controversial because this isn't the type of king the world wanted. They didn't want a king that died, a king that was sacrificed, a king that gave his life for his subjects. They called the early church cannibals for saying that they get together to eat the body, drink the blood of their king. But we persisted and continue to persist, for we know that our only hope is a king who relates to us, who knows weakness. So when we are walking through weakness, we rely upon his strength, who knows betrayal. So when we are feeling betrayal, we are assured of his inclusion of us into the body, who has guaranteed that even though it looks as if and truly we taste death, that it's through tasting death we receive life everlasting. This we believe, and it's offered to us. This Lamb that was slain, yet standing and ruling as our King. So I, as a called minister of the gospel, I offer unto you this gift, our Passover Lamb, slain for us, yet resurrected, eternally ruling in our lives and in the world, given to us. All those who love him in sincerity and truth are invited to come and to celebrate together this Paschal feast. thank you, our Father, for feeding us, for inviting us to a table where you are the host, that which invites the one who is received, the one who is all in all. You are our King, and we thank you. In your holy name, amen. Before we finish the hymn, I would like to read a portion of a sermon that I was going to include in my sermon, but I felt led to let it stand alone. And he too is a better preacher than I am. His name is S.M. Lockridge, an African-American pastor for many years at Calvary Baptist in San Diego. And probably his most famous hymn is called, "That's My King." I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. And you can't get him off of your lives. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree, and Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. He's always been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he had no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he ain't going to resign. That's my King. Praise the Lord. That's my King. Amen. Let us stand and sing. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.